United Methodist Church. My name is Caleb Williams. I get to be your minister of worship and arts, and I am glad that you are here. We know that it can be a little scary to walk into a church, especially when you walk in and everyone is wearing the same color. We're glad that wherever you're coming from today, wherever you're headed afterward, that you took the time to be here among this Pentecost people. We're going to tell you more about why so many folks are wearing red in a little bit. But mostly I wanted to let you know that in this place, this is a no-hush, no-shush kind of space. So if you need to wiggle, or if one of your family members needs to get up and move around, you do what you need to do, and we are not going to send you any judgmental side eye, all right? You know what I'm talking about there. Hey, because in this place, we say it all the time, but all are welcome here, all right? All are welcome here.
Thank you.
know that it's okay to not always be in control.
Let's make ourselves red.
Red like hot irons, ready to be reshaped and strengthened. We're here to have our lives changed.
Let's make the world red.
Red like an early sunrise, ready to cast new light on this planet. This is the beginning of a revolution of love, a season of compassion and fiery passion, and all are welcome here.
Hallelujah!
Amen. Please sing with us.
Join because it's never been about the leader anyway. It was about the dance. It's always been about the dance. How do we know how to start a movement? What did the shirtless dancing guy have that we need to have in order to start that movement? Some pretty sweet dance moves. And passion. Passion.
Amen.
That kid had passion. Passion is that willingness to step out and stand out from the crowd and dance your dance if nobody's going to dance it with you. It's that ability to get out in front of the crowd and go, I got something I want to share with the world. I got a joy that just overflows, and I don't care if you don't get it or don't like it. I'm going to do it and do it anyway until suddenly one other nun goes, I think that guy's onto something. Nothing draws people like passion. You have a friend in your life, I know, who's passionate about something you don't care two things about. But because they're passionate about it, some of their passion has spilled over on you. For example, he's here today, my friend Brian Baker. My friend Brian Baker is the most passionate person I've ever met about cars. I don't know a thing about cars. I don't want to know a thing about cars, right? I don't know one car from the other. But one day, because I'm a nice guy, my friend Brian invited me to go to the Dream Cruise with him, right? For a non-car guy, the Dream Cruise is like the third level of hell. Significance and auto history. You could tell me the name of the guy who was actually driving the car, because Brian knew all the things that were on it. And before that day was over, what should have been the third level of hell for me actually ended up being a very enjoyable morning, because Brian's passion spilled over on to me. And suddenly something I didn't care all that much about, I cared a lot more than I ever could have imagined. And it was because his passion transferred from him on to me. You want to go have a passionate beer with somebody? Go out for a beer with Caleb Williams. I gotta say, I'm from Wisconsin, man, where beer falls into two categories: Pabst Blue Ribbon and Old Milwaukee. Yeah. That's it. That's it. That's all. Like, right? So Caleb's like, you want to come out for a beer? And they're like, sure. Man, I got into an in-depth conversation about hops and brewing things, and he's talking about this special hop that came from Switzerland. It was in an old barrel that was aged for 42 years by elves under a mountain that had moss on it, and a unicorn kind of carried it across the desert, and it got to us, and you could taste the cinnamon and the hops in it. It was all this conversation about fashion. He was passionate about the process that made this beer, and it was unlike a beer I'd ever had before in my life. I mean, I sat with him at Ale Mary's, where he was in a conversation with a brewer from, where was that guy from? From Bell's. I don't even know what Bell's is, but let me tell you, by the time I was done, I wanted to go to Bell's, right? Because these two brothers talked for 90 whole minutes about the art and the joy and the passion of something that I didn't know you could be that passionate about. And now suddenly I'm going out for a beer and I'm like, I think I'll try the sour. Like, I didn't know any of that, right? Passion has this way of transferring from one person to another. You can't help but get caught up sometimes in somebody else's passion. And that's what we saw in Shirtless Dancing Guy today. He had a passion, a joy, that became infectious with others. And suddenly, one person joined him, and then another person joined him. And before you know it, the whole place was dancing, and you didn't even know who started it anymore. All you knew is that you wanted to be a part of the dance. Jesus was our shirtless dancing guy. He stood out from the crowd and danced a dance that the world had never seen before. And in dancing that dance, Jesus risked ridicule. He risked being made fun of. fun of. He risked being misunderstood, but he danced with a passion that filled him to the brim. And what was Jesus passionate about? Jesus was passionate about the fact that the world had forgotten that God was a God of love.
Amen.
And not a God of judgment. That God was a God that cared for the hungry and the homeless and the poor and the left out and the forgotten. Jesus danced with a passion that said religion, when it loses its heart, it loses everything. And so Jesus stood out from the crowd of his day and he danced. He danced this dance of love everywhere that he went. And just like shirtless dancing guy, it happened. People followed. Some fishermen were the first ones to join the dance with James and Peter and John. Suddenly, they were joining in this Jesus dance along with them. And just like shirtless dancing guy, Jesus went right to him and said, "Hey, you want to join this movement? Come, let me show you how to do this dance." He didn't lord his power over them. He didn't say, "I'm only the guy who can dance and you must watch." He said, "No, come, dance with me. Dance like me. Add your own take on this dance. Go out into the world. Feed the hungry yourselves. This dance isn't meant for me alone, but it's meant for the world." And here we are 2,000 years later, because that passion continues to spread. We are still doing the Jesus dance. And some of you put on, like, look at those acolytes in the back there getting down. I wish you just could have seen what Shane is getting down back there with his acolyte dance tool, right? Pally, you would have been proud. You would have been very proud, right? The dance, the Jesus dance, filled with passion. Today is Pentecost Sunday when we realize that the miracle of that dance is still in us. A lot of people have asked, what does Pentecost mean? What is Pentecost all about? Let me say what the word is. The word means 50. 50 days after, you know, Pentagon, 50, Pentecost. There's not any deep theological, religious thing, except there was a festival that was held 50 days after Passover, 50 days after the first Easter. People came together because that's what people do. You ever been to a church that just gets together because that's what you've always done? You ever feel like that's why you go to church? Because that's what we do, we show up. I just went to the Detroit Annual Conference, and I go every year because that's what I'm supposed to do. Right? I just go because that's what I'm supposed to do. And I don't go expecting a miracle. And every once in a while, a miracle still shows up. 2,000 years ago, a bunch of religious people who had just lost their leader, had just lost the leader of the dance, who were sure that when the leader had left the dance, they could no longer dance, so they just showed up to do the religious thing like they always showed up to do the religious thing, and something happened in the middle of the trustees meeting. Lord, have mercy. A miracle happened in the middle of the trustees meeting. Right? The windows started to shake, and they blew wide open, and it said it was as if fresh breath came into the whole place, like a whole new perspective just came upon the whole place. Then it said little flames of fire started to pop up over everybody's head. It's like when they looked in their eyes, they burned with a passion that they long since left when Jesus had left them. And then it said that an entire foreign language department of the University of Michigan exploded all over the place. Over here, people were speaking French, and over here, people were speaking German, and in fact, people were speaking Italian. There was Chinese being spoken from the balcony, and over here, there was Japanese, and there was Swahili, and there was Arabic, and all these languages were going on at the same time, and here was the miracle of that first Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Everybody could understand everybody. You see, the first miracle of Pentecost wasn't the miracle of the tongues, it was the miracle of the ear.
Amen.
It was this ability to hear each other and understand each other, even when you're different than each other. 2,000 years later, the church is still fighting and wondering about all those weird speaking in tongues when the real miracle was never about the tongue, it was always been about the ear. This ability to hear each other, even when you're different. Even when you speak different languages, you connect. I remember being in Prague, in the Czech Republic, on Pentecost Sunday, and there's a part of a mission team, and there we were in the middle of this worship service on Pentecost Sunday, and they were doing the whole worship service in Czech, and I didn't understand a single word that they said, but I understood every word that they said. understood they were talking about compassion. I understood that the same thing that my church was doing 2,000 miles away in Birmingham, Michigan that day was the exact thing that was happening in Prague. We were connected, and that's the miracle of Pentecost.
Praise God.
If you don't hear anything I have to say today, hear this. In fact, if you don't hear anything I ever say again, hear this. Pentecost is the reminder that the Spirit that was in Jesus is also in you.
Praise God.
The Spirit that was in Jesus is also in you and in me. Lord, have mercy if we ever really believe that.
Thank you.
See, if the Spirit of Jesus is in me and it's in you, then the Spirit that was in Jesus that healed the sick and helped the blind see, well, then that Spirit is in you and that Spirit is in me. And the Spirit of Jesus that welcomed the outcast and forgave the sinner and fed the hungry, that Spirit that was in Jesus, then it means it's also in you. And that Spirit of Jesus that rose again and again and again and keeps on rising today, that Spirit that can face hardship and suffering and death and accidents that leave you wondering after you broke 59 bones and you'll ever walk again, that Spirit that rises again so that you can walk the Oak Apple Run, that Spirit of Jesus that was in you is also in time. And it's in you, and it's in me, and it's in all of us. And yes, the Spirit that fed 4,000 people is in us. And by the time we are done today, you'll have lived that reality. You see, the symbol of Pentecost is clear if you know the story. The story of the little flames that start popping up over everybody's heads. And we're like, whoa, that is some crazy stuff, Pastor. I ain't seen no flames pop up over anybody's head around here lately. But you see, the symbolism shouldn't be lost on us. Because in the Hebrew Bible, the flame was always a sign and a remembrance of God's presence. When they saw the flame in the story, it was a reminder that God was right there with them. Where did Moses get the message from God? Where did God speak to Moses from? From the burning bush, from the flame. It's from the flame. God said, yo, Moses, my people are suffering, you and me, come on, let's go free them. Let's go give them a better life. When the Israelites wandered the desert for 40 years, not sure of where they were going, they were in the middle of a remodeling project that they thought would never end. When they were in the middle of this desert, wondering if this promised land was ever going to show up, it says God appeared as a pillar of fire every night and said, just move to the next step in the fire. The flame was the reminder that God was present. And when they finally got to their new church, and they thought all their problems were going to be solved and behind them, they put a flame, an eternal flame, they lit it in the sanctuary and said, God is always going to be present among us. So to those first century Hebrews, when they heard the story of the Pentecost, they said the flame was now popping up in people. That wasn't the symbolism wasn't missed. That the flame that was in the bush, the flame that led in the darkness, the flame that stood in the temple in the holies of holies, now lived and resided in the people. And that's crazy stuff. Because truth be told, we'd much rather have the Spirit be up there than in here. Because if the Spirit's in here, then damn, we can do something. You see, we've come to believe that sometimes Jesus was the only one who could do the dance. And our job is to stand around him and applaud him and praise him and worship him for being the dancer when all along Jesus said, I came to teach you. So that the whole world will dance along with us. And just like the crowd, sometimes some people will come and say, I don't even know what you guys are doing, but you look like you're having so much fun, I want to come and be a part of it. There's a young man who was hanging around a church I was at for a while, and he was helping and being around, and people invited him to come and be a part of it. And he said to me, Jeff, I've got to pull you aside. I really like what's going on here, but I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I said, do you like the dance? I love what you're doing. Well, then just come and dance. Because that's what this is. Burns and others. You want to see people who are alike with God? Ask Bridget Nelson to talk to you about the teenagers of this church. And her eyes will light up. She gets excited about the teenagers of this church. You want to see Neil Harris's eyes light up? Ask him about teaching music to kids. His eyes just light up on fire. I want to learn music from Neil Harris the way his eyes light up. You want to hear some passion about environmental justice? Ask Bob Perdomo. And his eyes will light up with justice. You want to ask Dolores Greer about what it's like to feed hungry people for 20 years? Watch her catch on fire. You want to see Joan Johnson catch on fire? Put a guitar in her hand and let her sing some folk music. She catches on fire, and suddenly you want to be a part of that fire. What burns in you? What burns in us? I do a lot of work in churches that are struggling. I get called to come in and talk to them. And here's what I've learned after all my years. The difference between a growing church and a dying church can be boiled down to one thing, and that's passion. Are they just showing up at the same meeting they've always showed up at, not expecting the winds to blow in the windows or little flames to pop up on people's head, or to have people who can't understand each other suddenly find understanding? If they don't have passion, I can't do anything for them. I say be passionate about something. Be passionate about potlucks. I can do something with that. Right? Be passionate about Jell-O salad. I can do something with that. Passion. This summer, we declared 2017 to be the summer of love, the summer of passion, the summer that we here at Royal Oak First are going to start the revolution. And I need you to come every Sunday this summer that you're in town, because you're not going to want to miss what we're doing here this summer. You thought the magnets were cool last summer? You ain't seen nothing yet. This summer, we are going to get out into this community and world in some fun and easy ways. And I'm not even going to tell you what they are. You got to come and get surprised. We're going to live into this dance that Jesus has invited us to go out and dance into this world. You see, if the Spirit of Jesus is in us, then every one of those stories that we read in that scripture isn't captured in some 2,000-year-old memory, but it's an invitation to live and dance that dance right here, right now. And so that starts today. We're going to go downstairs and we're going to live the story of the feeding of the 4,000. When I started talking about feeding 4,000, a bunch of you said, Jeff, you know it's the feeding of 5,000, right? And you're right. In Mark's gospel, there's two stories of the feeding. In chapter 6, Jesus goes out and he feeds 5,000. That's the story we're most familiar with. But in chapter 8, Jesus does another feeding, and this time he feeds 4,000. What's the difference between the 5,000 and the 4,000? Yes, 1,000. But other than that, Kevin's like, it's 1,000, Jeff. Yes, I know, right? What is the difference? In chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000 was among Jesus' own people. That was the feeding of the people who looked like him and believed like him. He fed his own people first. And they got so passionate about feeding each other that two chapters later they got the boat and they went to the other side of the river. And now they were in Gentile country and they were teaching people a dance that they've been told their whole lives they shouldn't even dance with. And suddenly, they were feeding people that they never had met before, and they were interacting with people they'd never met before, and the Jesus dance went from this side of the lake to that side of the lake, and suddenly the whole lake was together dancing the same dance. Yeah. My friend Bob Gowdy this week told me that when we practiced this sermon, he said, Jeff, you know, it is easier to feed 5,000 than it is to feed 4,000. And I'm like, I'm not good at math, Bob, but I'm not sure how that works. So think about it. It is so much easier to feed people that you know. It is so much easier to feed the people you know. The people you're comfortable with. The people who look like you and believe like you and dance like you. He said, but when you've got a real passion of God in you, you'll take that passion and you'll do the hard work of going to the other side of the lake and you'll feed people that you've never met before as well. I'm like, Bob, you want to preach Sunday? That was genius. So there they are on the other side of the lake, and there's 4,000 hungry people. And they come to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, how are you going to feed all these people? And Jesus says, I don't know, how are you going to feed them? James reached in their pocket and they found they had some bread, and they had 7 loaves of bread. And here's what I think happened. When Amy saw that James and Peter pulled their bread out of their pocket, Amy said, "Well, I brought a loaf of bread too." And Carolyn, who was sitting next to Amy, said, "Well, if Amy can share her bread, then I might as well share these juice boxes I brought with me." And Bridget, she doesn't go anywhere without a thing to feed teenagers, so she had goldfish and licorice and cookies and all these things in her backpack. And before you know it, somebody started sharing over here, and somebody started cheering over there, and somebody started cheering over there, and somebody started cheering over there. And suddenly, when everybody started sharing, when everybody started doing the same dance, we didn't even realize that all the things we needed to feed each other, we already had. All we had to do was learn to dance. All we had to do was learn to share. All we had to do was learn to take it out of our pocket. All we had to believe is that the spirit that was in Jesus was also in us. And suddenly we could feed the world. So today, as we leave this place today, will you come downstairs with me? Will you put on a hairnet? Will you put on some gloves and an apron? Will you come and make 4,000 sandwiches with me? I got 2,500 I've got left to make, and I need your help making them here today. Will you come and help me do that? Will you show up every Sunday here this summer that you're able so that we can do this dance together? I promise, I'll dance. I hope you come and dance with me. And here's my other promise to you. Unlike the kid in the video, I'm keeping my shirt on, all right? So just come and dance this dance with us this summer. Let's do the dance. Let's share the love. Let's be the light. Let's be on fire. Let's start the revolution today. Amen.
Can't do the miracle without you, because the God, the same spirit that was in Jesus is in us. Amen?
Amen.